What's going on, everybody? Anthony Frieda here. Welcome to Badum Biz. All right, today on the show, we got Bambi and Taman Hade. Taman's actually one of my best friends, and Bambi is his wife. They both are very talented musicians and artists, performers. We actually have a long, long conversation about everybody's history with performing and music. We had a lot of laughs, shared some stories. It was really great to have one of my best friends and his family in the studio, because his son, who's a baby actually, was in the studio with us. And it was, you know, taking part in the conversation, and it was cute. We did some live performing too, which is awesome. And throughout the episode, you'll hear examples of both Bambi and Taman's music. So without further ado, enjoy the episode with Bambi and Taman Hade. Taman Hade and Bambi Hade, two really, really good artists, talented, talented people. Welcome.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
What's going on?
They're a family. They're married, and they have their child, Zane's, in here with us, too, to jam with us when we start making some music.
Yeah.
I'll just introduce, like, Taman, how I know Taman, actually. We met at Montclair State University. We literally met on the orientation day.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember
and,
that.
It was so boring that whole day, and when the music people finally got to get together, and I saw your drumsticks. That's right, you had like a pad, and you had your drum corps sticks. I was like, "There's my guy. That's who I'm talking to." Immediately started, you know, talking music, and then I think like early on in our freshman semester, we started jamming, I remember there was like a kit set up in the quote big percussion room, and big 5-octave marimba. You were playing that, and I was sitting on some crappy Frankenstein drum set, and we were just jamming. And that was cool. And our friendship is pretty much like based on jamming.
That's very true.
Yeah, you started as a percussionist and a drummer, and now you are a. I mean, Selah and I, when he was on this, we were talking about like the first thing that we came up with to describe you as multi-instrumentalist, but also a producer, you know. So, yeah, man, I've been waiting to have you on, man.
Yeah. It's
one just... of my best friends.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, man. So on the show, like, we're just going to hang out and chat about, I'll probably ask you questions about, like, your artistry and how you create, how you think about music. But, What do you think right now, like musically? What are you focused on right now?
Well, it's interesting. As you can hear, you can see my son in the background. He's 11 months, about to be a year. I might grab and hold him for a second, actually. But back at the task at hand and the question at hand. First and foremost, I'm very happy to be here with my boy Ant. It's been a long day coming. I mean, we've been trying to get up in here for a while, a very, very long time. And, you know, being a first-time new father, new husband, and just a lot of new stuff, a lot of transitional stuff, just so much going on. Like, you know, like I'm literally holding my kid right now. If you have pictures, you'll see him right on my lap. But it's been just so much stuff going on. And so musically, it's been like... almost like kind of sporadic, you know, not as a fluid type of thing that I've been known to do in the past, but it's been a little more sporadic. Even in the midst of that, I've been doing some music. Me and my wife, Bambi Hade, we actually have a song that we did some time ago, and we're actually going to start really pushing and promoting it. It's called It's Not Okay. And you can actually find the song on like iTunes.
It's gonna be in the description. All those links in
Amazon
the description
and all that stuff. And but the song is really good, and it really just pinpoints and talks about how, you know, in society, especially with you know, this quote unquote, this is a man's world type of mentality, where it's actually time where women are pushing back and like saying, yo, look, it's not okay. And that's literally what the entire song is about. But it's a house song. So, you know, you can dance to it.
I love the song because, well, first it has the clave rhythm.
Oh, but
it's four on the floor, right? And the lyrics are very simple and very clear. And it's like, what's cool about it, I'm staring at Bambi while I'm talking about this. It'd be great to get your take on and your input. But what I liked about the song is simple lyrics, very clear message. And there's an attitude to it. I really like that. That's powerful. But there's also some fun to it.
If he comes onto you in the most inappropriate way, if you walk in the room and he's always got something to say, and his antics of late got you feeling some kind of way, don't you hesitate to say it's not okay. If he's taking advantage when you're being nice as can be, if he's all in your business and giving you the third degree, and the things that he's telling you are coming off kind of cliche, don't you hesitate to say it's not okay. Respect my space. Respect my ambiance. Don't insult me. Some things are just not okay.
We performed it actually at like a, it was like a dance studio. Yeah. And yeah. That's right. And yeah, I love the feel of the song, but it's a very poetic boundary that's being established.
Yes.
Like very clear. And it's not like, it's not, what I like about it, it's not guilting or shaming anybody. You know what I mean? It's very clear. And I mean, that's powerful, you know? If you can make art and put a message in it and it's engaging, the art is engaging and, and it's fun, you could dance to it. I mean, it's a great tune.
It's definitely a song that we... it's definitely a song that we were able to send a message through, but still engage the audience no matter what age, you know. Like my son, he'll bop to it. He doesn't know what we're talking about, but it's just the vibe is good. And then there are women that totally relate to it, you know. Like it's like a piece where it's, we try to make it multidimensional. But yeah, it was great to do. This was my first song recording with my husband, which was interesting because my husband is a producer and he's been doing that for some time, and I just stepped into my artistry. I've been singing forever, like since I was like two.
You have a church. Great voice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've been singing since I was like two, but as far as like embracing being an artist, my husband definitely pulled that out of me. I can definitely say that. And hopefully we're raising another little artist, as you hear. You're going to hear those little high-pitched notes.
He was beatboxing before.
Yes, he knows how to, he's learning how to beatbox from his daddy. Dada, yes.
I think with the, it was interesting when we were working on the song. Oh yeah, and real quick, shout out to Joe Williams for writing the lyrics.
Yes.
And bringing the idea to us.
Mr. Joe, we love him.
And really appreciate him bringing that that song idea to us and allowing us to really bring it to life. But yeah, it was one of the things that is different from, you know, when you have your spouse or your significant other, you know, and you guys are in a loving relationship is different than when you're a working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the beginning, I'll tell you, that was hard because I would tell her to do certain stuff that she was uncomfortable doing, but I knew what I was doing because I had done it so many times. You know what I mean? Like working with artists and producing for artists and trying to pull the best out of them. You know, and not to say, she's a phenomenal singer. She can sing way better than me. Let's keep it 100. She can sing way better than
me. I mean, I know.
Yeah. You and everybody know, right? So, but she can sing way better than me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so if I'm telling her to do something vocally, it almost seems like you don't have the right to tell me that because of how good she sings, you know? But it's not about how good the person actually sings. It's about can you convey the message and the energy in the music.
You know, what you just said right there.
Yeah.
Very important. Translation of what your message is.
Definitely. Yes.
What your intent is.
Yeah.
That is important more than yelling something.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like yelling something at somebody, it may be right what you're yelling.
Yeah.
But
how are they receiving it?
Are they exactly. And are you, what is your intent? And are you meeting your goal by communicating that?
Yeah.
You know, people like are trying to be right a lot of times. And great, you're yelling that you're right, but you're not serving your purpose.
Yeah.
You're just angering people or, you know, creating friction. But that's cool to hear, actually, because you're the second married couple that I've had that are artists. Yeah.
That's cool.
Shout out to Kat London and Rich Aveo.
Hey.
And we gotta follow them.
Yeah, I mean they're fantastic. But it's interesting to hear you can totally keep going with it. It's very interesting to hear that dynamic, like where it was a shift, you know, like, okay, I know how to be married to you. I love you, but we got to work together creatively, totally different energy.
I can honestly say that coming from, you know, just being a quote unquote singer to stepping into artistry, it was a different, you know, different shift.
Yeah.
And my husband he's been an artist, and that's the thing. He's been an artist way longer than I've been an artist. But I've been a singer longer than he's been a singer. So in my head, I'm like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. But then I literally had to, like, step down from myself and say, you know, this man is like, he's an artist first. He's also a producer, so he knows what sound he's looking for and what's going to get the people going, you know?
Absolutely.
And I had to really humble myself, and I am so glad I did. And now, like, I feel like now when we do music, I'm way more susceptible to, babe, what do you think I should do? You know, how do you think I should approach this? Do you think this sounds good? Should I do it like this? You know, it's a lot more, it's a lot more of me listening to him versus me combating him, because that was literally what I was doing before. And I told him at the end, I'm like, babe, I'm so sorry. You're so right.
I remember one of her close friends, we had played her the song, right? Before it was finished. And she was like, man, you know, I like everything about the song except she's like, when I'm listening to it, I just feel like I don't believe you. That's what her friend says.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't believe you. And she was like, oh. She was like, then she wound up telling her, like, yeah, I wasn't really trying. I was doing it the way I wanted to do it, not with the way he wanted to do it. She was like, you know, all of this stuff.
Yeah, she definitely and then, told me to, like, stop fighting him. She was like, he knows what he's doing. You should listen to him, because if he said the same thing and I didn't even know that he said that,
and I'm
picking that up, then he's right. So I was
damn
it.
A lot of it is just sort of learning how to have realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when you're and it could be it didn't even if you two weren't in a loving relationship, it's I'm sure you learned something from that, Taman, like you know, how do you, again, how do I, maybe the next time, or maybe from now on, how do I better communicate the expectations for the artist?
Yeah,
I mean, I've had a couple people on who, like one of them being a mix engineer, who prides himself not only the sound on the, his sound of the mixes of the songs that he does, but the environment he creates when in the studio.
Yeah, that's important.
You know, like, you don't even realize that's a hard job in itself. Like, how do I make a low pressure, relaxing, but also like a spirited, creative space?
Yeah.
You know,
that's important.
So I guess you learned that from you know, what a, how, I mean, what a great way to learn it from, you know, you're working with your wife. It's like, you know, like that, that's your reference.
Yeah.
Right.
Worked with a lot of different artists. I never worked with a spouse before, even back when, had a, one of my old girlfriends, we both was artists, and, we had worked together, but we didn't work together on music until after we separated.
Oh, gotcha.
So even then, it was like, it was different, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, that's definitely a learning experience, that the energy and ambiance and getting people comfortable in the studio and comfortable enough to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then also listen to them and interpret their requests. Like, even today, like, so we did our song. I got another song that I'm working on with a really good friend of mine, named Malik Versatility. And it's interesting because how we met, he's actually my hairstylist, right? He met us by hairstylist. And, some years ago, and, you know, I didn't really know who he was singing at all or things like that. But, you know, he's a creative dude. You know, some people are just creative. You could just, you know what I'm saying, right?
Exactly.
Some people,
you're
just sitting around and you'd be like, what the
fuck? So Selah.
Yeah, creative. Like, you just do like mad stuff.
Like, I met him, he's taking photos and doing video. You know what I mean? I didn't know he was a killer lyricist, singer, and rapper. Didn't know.
Yeah, man.
And that he can improvise. Like, I didn't know.
Crazy, man.
And that's, you know. I met so many people like that through you.
Yeah, man. It's been a blessing meeting people like that. And you can kind of just pinpoint it. Like, I remember one weird scenario. It was this, I went to this show in New York, and this guy, he was like a feature. He was a poet and a singer and an MC. And then I wound up trying to catch the train home, and we was actually on the same platform waiting for the train. So I was just chatting with him. Hmm. This is like sidebar, but just chatting with him and everything we talked about, he sung it, everything he said. And it was so weird. I was like,
you sang everything he said?
Everything he said. I was like, oh man, so what made you go, you know, get into music? Like, you know, went to the music. Da 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 da.
Oh wow.
Like, I mean, everything. And it was so weird. I was like, I never experienced that. It just kind of like, I was like, wow, like there's people just like that.
Yeah.
People out there.
Yeah, just like that. So back to the subject at hand, my bad. So my boy Malik Versatility, so he is a hairstylist, he's a dancer, he also sings as well. He's been singing for years as well, but he's been stepping into his singing and his artistry. And you know, and he reached out to me. He was like, "Look, man." He's like, "I got this song that I have in my head, and you know, I know you produce.
Get it out."
Yeah, and I got to get it out. You know what I mean? And so... Yeah.
You just talked about that. You got to get it out.
Got to get it out.
You know what I mean?
It's in there. How do I, you know...
You see what I'm saying? Got to get it out. And so, you know, he hasn't really done like studio work and things like that. And he's one of those people who are so creative that a lot of people don't understand him. I keep it 100. A lot of people won't understand him because he has so... Like the way he... Everything he says is a...
message.
Yeah, it's a message and it's almost like a riddle. Like when you talk to him, so when you talk to him, you gotta really listen. You be like, you gotta really listen. You know when you're talking to him, and so we work on this song, and it's been coming out really, really, really good. So the first one, we just released it, like a few weeks ago. Mm. It's called House Is a Home.
Okay,
and.
I'll put that in the link.
Yeah, it's on, you know, all the platforms and everything. And we have the first version we did is House Is a Home, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like house, it's like a house music song. But you think about it, you know, you have this Luther Vandross song called House Is Not a Home, but it's actually the opposite. You know, house is a home, you know, and especially in the midst of all this COVID, people have been stuck in their house.
Yeah.
Some people have never been in their house this long.
Yeah.
You know, they've been forced to make their home, their house, really their home and their abode. And so this actually started before all of the COVID stuff happened. And then, you know, so we did that. We released the first version and we got a remix now that's about to come out.
Wow.
Like, we got a remix. Show this shit.
Now, how does that remix, I never understood the remix world. Is it another producer who puts their spin on it? Like, how, or did you put your spin, another spin on it?
So, truth be told, usually when it's a remix, another producer does it.
Okay.
But... we haven't went into my production, you know, background and all that stuff yet, but we will.
Yeah.
But you're talking to me, Mr. Yes. Tame Hot Day.
Yes.
And so.
AKA the genius.
The genius, you know.
Yeah.
And so I did the remix.
Okay.
I did a remix. And part of the reason I did the remix is because anytime I hear music, I don't hear it in one way. I always hear it in multiple ways, you know. And it's a lot of it comes from our training back in MSU.
Yeah,
like,
man.
We studied percussion.
Yeah.
We studied classical music. We studied contemporary music. We studied jazz. On our own, we studied hip-hop. We was in chorus. You know what I mean? We was in orchestra. So all of that stuff, I never hear anything one way. It's like, so if I hear a lick, like a do-do-do-do-do-do-do, whatever it is, I hear it on guitar, dum 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 dum. Hear it on the bass, hear it on the piano, boom 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 boom. You can hear it on the string, or you can hear trumpets, like boom boom boom. You know, whatever it is, you can hear it many different ways. Maybe it's synthesized, and then you know
the Taemin Hade sampler pack.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You know, and so
you got to plug into his brain,
to get it. But yeah, the. So I did the remix and no one has heard it yet. Only like a few people have heard it, you know? So, at the end of this thing, when we're done, I'll play it for you.
I'd love to
hear it. I can't play it on the station yet.
That's
because,
cool.
You know, it's,
that's
I'm
cool.
Really, you know,
you gotta keep, we're going to keep the listeners like salivating.
Yeah.
Edge of their seat.
Yes. That's right.
So it's going to be, House is a Home. It's going to be like, it's like an Afro remix. You know what I mean?
Shout out to my girls.
Tip
and Iman for we were in the kitchen.
Oh man.
Literally they were in the living room and they were putting down tracks and you know, Malik was expressing his thoughts and what he heard in his head. And literally we were in the kitchen. I was doing the dishes and my two friends, Tiffany Washington and Iman Coachman, were literally sitting there at the table and we just started singing.
Oh.
Started singing the hook. Like, we just came up with it, like, literally on the spot. And Malik heard us in the kitchen and he was like, y'all, come here. Put that, I want that too.
And you know
we were
what?
Just like, what?
That, hold up, stop everything. That right there.
Yeah.
That's a Taemin thing.
Yeah.
Because you do that. Like you'll go nuts. You're like, wait, play that again or do that again. Yeah, and that's obviously fitting that you know you're working with somebody who has a similar like enthusiasm.
Yeah,
but also is always listening for that.
Yeah, dude,
that magic.
Yeah,
that's so cool. So that creative space that we were talking about before, creating that creative environment, was so potent that it went into the kitchen.
Yes.
You know, and or the other rooms of the house. And you couldn't not participate.
Yeah.
That is the beauty of like creating music to me.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a closed door.
Yeah.
You know, if it was, you wouldn't, I haven't heard it, but I'm excited. I'm even more excited just because of that little story there. Yeah. That's so cool.
So when you hear us in the back, just know that I was washing the dishes when it all started.
That's so cool.
That was exciting. That whole process was exciting and very different too, because you know we started the song in my living room in one apartment. We were working on the song. He was out in California and he was sending me ideas like, hey, can you do this back and forth. So he was sending me stuff that he wanted to hear. I would put it in the track and then try to make sure to interpret what he said we wanted to hear too. Because, you know, I'm a music producer. He's an artist. You know, that there's two different languages. You know, you already know how that is. Like, and just trying to make sure I understand him correctly, you know.
Yep.
And somehow we put it together and it wound up being something really great. And I appreciate him so much for giving me the time to really do it. Because, like I said in the beginning, it's like a family stuff. We moved right in the middle of the whole COVID thing. We was moving right in the middle, you know, so like
April 1st.
Yeah, so like you're moving, you know, moving is hard just in general
with the newborn
and with the he's like
six months at the time,
you know, and we're moving, you know, so you could just imagine, you know, and then still trying to finish the song. Don't have a studio setup. My setup was literally on my nightstand next to the bed. I put the speakers on. I put the interface behind it, the laptop on top of the speakers, and I'm literally sitting there working on the song, mixing in or editing.
Put the pillows up so the baby wouldn't get to anything.
Yeah, you know, like,
oh my god.
Arcade.
Oh my
real
god.
Stuff. Like, you know, and just trying
That's
to make
commitment
sure.
right there to the art.
Just trying to just finish the song. It wound up being a really, really, really dope song. And So yeah, man, that song will be coming out very, very soon. This, the original version is out now, but the remix will be coming out very, very soon.
House is a home.
Yeah, house is a home.
House is a home, sorry.
Yeah, house is a home. House is a home. Let me stop. When you hear this song, you'll see why I said that.
By the way, listeners, I'm very excited because they're in studio and Taman brought his guitar. And, you know, I think Bambi said she would sing too, maybe. So yeah. I think that'd be great. Maybe Zane's going to do some harmonies.
Yeah, I know, right?
Taman, so, like, I'm glad you mentioned, like, all the stuff, all the orchestral, all the classical, the new contemporary music, all that stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. like, I actually was talking to a drummer yesterday who went to Willie P, and I didn't know that he had done the whole contemporary new music stuff in like the Willie P percussion ensemble.
Yeah.
And we were nerding out about like Third Construction. John Cage. I mean, like, all right, I gotta say this. That piece of music, and it was written in the '50s, but that piece of music whipped my ass so much that I don't know if I would be as good of a musician in general if I didn't play that piece. And if I didn't spend 6 months rehearsing with these guys, like multiple times a week. I mean, we scheduled that. We had to schedule and have a room, set up the room with this ridiculous setup. I mean, it was ridiculous, the setup. It probably took like 40 minutes to set up almost. Yeah.
Wow.
Every time we did it. And, but yeah, so I have watched your evolution, and like during that time, I do think there's something to, cause that wasn't the only thing we were doing. We were doing like some percussion concerto and wind on symphony. We were doing, what was that one piece? It was like everybody was playing this weird, it was called Coming Together, right? Do you remember that one?
I remember that one.
Then were you in the drum set piece or no?
Yeah.
What was that called again? Something Ride. I forget what that was called.
Dark Full Ride. Yeah.
Holy fuck. We were doing all of that at the same time. All of that stuff. And we were going to class, you know? And I was in choir too, I think, that semester. There's something that when you're in that environment, talking about a creative environment, everybody's truly working hard, pushing themselves. They're in those practice rooms 12 hours a day, like, or in that building. There's something to your growth, like doubles, triples, quadruples.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like not listening to, or not just bound, there's no hurdles. You know what I mean? Like you're so goal oriented. You're like, I have to get these parts right. Like there's no question.
There's no
I
option.
Have to get these parts right. I have to be able to play it with other people. And I watched your evolution because as a player that during that 6 months,
mm-hmm.
but also you started at home, you were producing stuff like on Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
And you were bringing stuff in to play on that Bose speaker on the piano or whatever.
I remember
that? And, and some of your early productions, it was all instrumental stuff, but it was good.
Yeah.
And he'd go, I did another one. And he'd come in a couple days later. I was like, dude, this is even better. Another one a couple days later. There were ones where I was like, I remember like going, don't ever forget that because that's dope. And you probably still have them somewhere, hopefully.
Yeah, I got some of them. I got a lot. I got most of them. Some of them I have lost, but it's like the early ones I have, I lost some in the middle, and then I have the past maybe like 6 years. I have those, 5 or 6 years.
That was like 2009 or something.
Yeah.
Around there, right?
Yeah, I think
and
I have
like,
those. I think
you still have those?
I think I have a lot of them. I don't have all of them, but I have a lot of them.
Some of them, I mean, they were like really good. And then, so fast forward, and now we're in like around, I'm trying to think, 2011, 2012, somewhere around there, you started like actually playing guitar more. You already were doing it. Like you, during that whole time, you were challenging yourself, learning things on piano. Like you just put yourself in a new discomfort of a challenge and were like, I'm going to chip away until I get somewhere here.
Yeah.
And you've done that consistently for years until fast forward to like 2013 and I'm playing drums for your album release. We did Golden Walk. We did, what were the Gangsta Love?
No, not that. Oh, no, that wasn't that yet. It was it was the first album. So it was Golden Walk. Oh gosh, do I remember the songs?
Are you sure?
Genius
sure
Intro.
We weren't doing Dance of Love because I literally remember.
That was later. No, that was later. That was on the second project. Okay. The first project is with the. It was I could pull it up, but
we'll put a link in there. If it's probably up there on SoundCloud.
That one is not up.
Oh, it's not up.
No, you know the reason why I didn't put that one up? Well, I guess I should have put it up. But I had a one of the songs was a sample.
Okay.
It was only one song. I could just cut that song out, but it was my first project. You know how it is when you work on music and after a while you're like, oh, I don't want to put that one out, even though you still like it, but you're like, yeah, I'm doing new stuff, you know. I think that's a part that I probably gotta.
That's Radiohead. They hate their first album.
So yeah, there we go.
So it's like that. I mean,
I like it, but I was still learning. I'm still learning how to sing, but I was really, really still learning how to sing.
Oh yeah, and,
you know, it's interesting. I kind of want to go back to you talking about the school thing, being in school. I think that being older, I can analyze it better and understand what was happening. It's a testament to laws of nature. Hmm. They say that when you get one person praying, the prayer is the size of that one person. But when you get two people praying, it doubles. And so I think that with anything, when there's more or multiple people going for the same goal, your growth is going to be exponential. It's going to happen no matter what, you know, pretty much. It's going to happen no matter what.
Everybody's pushing.
Everybody's pushing for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in that environment, I think that's part of one of the reasons why my growth was as fast as it was. And then everyone's growth, honestly, everyone's growth was growing really, really fast, especially the people who were there, you know. And it was very evident for the people who weren't there, their growth was not as fast, you know. Mm. But the people who were there, stuck in the building, you know, growing. And I have friends who were there who weren't there. And I could still see the difference, you know. And I think it's just a testament of really trying to really be the pushing and trying to be the best person you can be at that moment, you know. And for me, I've always been a person to explore in the different instruments, playing different things. Like, I started drums. I kind of actually started instrument music late comparatively to my average person. I started like I was like 14, going like on 15, like 14, like going to 10th grade, you know. And so I was actually lucky to get into college, you know. Truth be told, I teach now, and a lot of my students, they start in third grade. You know, I'm man, I started in ninth grade.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're already ahead of me, like, already, you know. And but I'm starting there, and then doing drum corps and drum bugle corps, and getting into college. I'm lucky to get in college at that time. And then I started picking up guitar. Actually, the reason why I picked up a guitar was because I was teaching drums, and in the drum studio that I was teaching, it wasn't big enough for a keyboard. Mm. And so I was like, man, I got to pick up guitar so I could be able to play with my students. So I picked up, that was the reason why I picked up guitar, was to play with my students. Wow. You know, and obviously I lost that gig because I was my first time teaching. And I learned in my very last lesson that when you teach kids, that you have to teach them what they want to learn until you can teach them what they need to learn.
Yes.
You know, and then, so I didn't learn that until the very last lesson. So I was, I was teaching a kid.
Yeah, put money in the bank.
Yeah, you feel me? It was like the last lesson, right? One of my last students, the last lesson. I was like, you know, it's our last lesson, so we're just going to learn a bunch of songs. Play like a Earth, Wind & Fire album. We're just trying to learn to be, like, stuff like that. And he was like, oh, man, this is the best lesson ever. And I was like, doo-doo, oh!
There you go.
I got it, you know. And so moving on from that, picking up guitar, I learned how to play piano better when I got out of class. When I finished the four semesters of piano, I learned piano after that. And the weirdest thing. I was like, I didn't start really learning this after I got out of the class. So picking up piano, and then at the same time, my nephew, shout out to Aziz. He introduced me to, also known as Z Flames, everybody know him, or Goldie McCuffrey, got mad names. So Aziz, you know, and he introduced me to producing in FL Studios. And so I started producing, you know, and everything sounded very drum based. I was all drum beats, you know, and you know, and then later on started adding instruments, you know, things like that. And then being in school, I always tried to use what I was being exposed to. you know. And so, like I said before, when I hear music, I don't just hear it one way. I hear all of my experiences at the same time. So I hear playing in the jazz band and hearing the horn section, or being in an orchestra and you're in the back with the percussion section, but all you hear is the brass, and then you start to learn how strings sound and how they use their articulations and their phrasing, you know. They're being in a percussion ensemble. You're doing a lot of contemporary music. So it's a lot of things that you've never heard before.
Yeah.
Even being in Harry Potter's instrument ensemble.
That's right. You did that, right?
You know, yeah. And then,
I never
you know,
did that, but that man. Shit is crazy.
Phenomenal, man. Being in Harry Potter's, and instead of 12 notes to an octave, it's like 40-something notes to an octave. And, you know, the pretty much developing your ear, you can hear a lot of nuances and pitches. Like, even still now, when I hear, I can hear more nuances and pitches than years prior. And then what I kind of did was all of that musical experience and learning different instruments, playing, producing, I put it all into my producing, honestly. I think out of everything I do, my production is the peak of my quote-unquote expression. It's because I can literally put everything into it, you know. I don't feel like there's really any limitations. When I stand in front of the computer, it's just I'm really just honing in, and I find it to be honestly very enjoyable, and just to come up with different ideas and see how can you change something around. I remember even before, like, I did like some sampling with sampling artists, but I didn't really like the sample. So what I would do is I would make my own sample and then sample the sample I just made, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the last time, like, I think, you know, I used to number my beats, and I think the last beat I sampled, like, an artist was, like, 61, you know?
Okay.
And mind you, I'm at, like, man, I don't know. I'm at least, like, 400 or 500 at least. So, no, it was, like, a while ago, you know what I mean? And so I sampled, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm trying to picture that. I'm like, no, it's too much. I would have to organize it. And I'd give up.
Yeah.
After 100, I'd give up.
So I stopped producing. And then later on, it was this artist I worked with, and they asked me to sample specific songs, you know. But, you know, I don't really like to sample that much, because I like to, you know, you're giving up half your rights to your song, one third of your rights to your song, and then, you know, it makes it more complicated.
Yeah. But your samples were cool.
Yeah, I tried my best to make them sound.
Yeah, like
really cool.
Meaning they didn't sound like the. That's what I like about when you hear a sample from a song and you hear it in a different way, whether it's speeding it up, slowing it down, raising the pitch, lowering the octave, or you did that. You made it sound totally different than the original, and that's you can argue there's a little bit of originality to that, because somebody could have walked past you and hummed that or sang that vocal line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you just heard it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what? That could sound better if I did, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's something to be said about that. Yeah, unless you're taking something, totally ripping something off and putting your own name on it. Kanye West.
Okay.
Better make it better, stronger, better, faster.
I guess. Yeah. Nice. Well,
I'm joking, but kind of not.
Well, that's kind of like my I think what drives me is change and new, new things and change. And over the years, like past few years, I've gotten a little more not so changey, if that makes any sense. But it's still very much so there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, that's very important to have that constant fluidity and change. And production actually brings that, because every time you work on a beat, you're working on a new beat.
Yeah.
A new song, a new this, you know, it's always something new, you know?
For a new relationship, one that will last long and not end quick. Dedication to each other, that contract shit. Hold the homie down when the record flip. Ride or die, get my star, shine a light in the dark. Hold you up like a crown or a blunt with a spark. Fireworks, lighters up, knew how they parents cry. The pledge of allegiance to my ride or die.
say. I'm a brother, brother. I got something I wanna say.
I'm a brother, brother.
Yeah. Being real, you know, you saved my life. Deep conversation.
Well, you don't have limitations as a producer. That's what's really cool about the takeover in like the producers, the artists, sort of in the last probably like a little more than a decade now, right? So it, as a drummer, I'm limited to how I think because I only can play with four limbs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even those limbs have their own limitations. Mm. But when you hear when a producer's making a drum beat, they're not limited at all. Like there's no, I want to hear this. I'm gonna program it.
Yeah, I know.
That's
right.
It. And then it's our job to go like to be either be mad about it, or to like take on the challenge of, you know, like, well, hold on. If I can try to understand or hear the music like this producer hears it clearly, then I might sound unique when I do. You got to obviously got to practice to get it to feel good. That's the thing about drums for listeners. You can play a pattern all day long. That's fine. Put things together. It's kind of like saying a speech. If you just read it down with monotone voice, nobody's going to feel that shit. Wow. You know what I mean? But you got to say it with some meaning to it.
Some
behind
oomph. You got to put a little oomph behind it.
Yeah. That's right. And like, that's how when you approach a drum beat playing, or even a something on a guitar, piano, literally that human spirit, that energy can come alive.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It takes a very long time to do. So as a producer, you're not limited to that, even though you've gained that ability, like on multiple instruments. So that's what's really cool about, and we've never talked about this really, but it is interesting and it makes a lot of sense. It's like obvious to me now. When Taman is producing something and he has an idea, he's drawing from every musical experience he's had. Like you're not limiting yourself to, all right, well, I'm going to do something in the hip-hop world, so I'm only going to think about this little box. No, you are thinking about your orchestral experience or your classical or Harry Parch experience. It's kind of cool. And I like how you also said, because now I go, damn it, I should have done Harry Parch. When you're like, it trained your ear for the nuance.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, truly, your ear is everything, how you hear things.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and that's why you're able to even like produce a song and then go, I got a remix for this, you know, and it might be better or cooler or whatever, or more unique. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool to see that evolution though. I've watched it.
Believe it or not. It's Not Okay has a remix as well.
Does it?
Yeah. And Taman did that one as well.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
me personally, I like the remix better than I like the original.
Oh, shit.
That's why when you just said that, it sparked. Like, It's Not Okay has a remix. We haven't. Have we officially released it?
No, we haven't.
It hasn't officially been released.
Well, maybe
we can
after
actually
this.
Play it today if you want to hear it. Like,
you know what I think? You know what would be great? I want to keep talking, but I'll edit it in if you send it to me.
Yeah.
Totally. And then if you put it out, I'll link it. And then everybody, I'll just say, stop listening to the podcast right now and go listen to this song. Come right back.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
That would be great. That's seriously, that's cool. So it's endless with this dynasty in front of me right
here
of talent. That's exciting. And I like how, you know, you and I would meet up and you'd show me, dude, I've been working on, because you went a stretch of time with programming beats using samples. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, hey, dude, can I like borrow, you know, a cymbal or, you know, a snare drum, whatever. Because you were like, I want live drums again. Like, I want to mix live drums. And then you showed me what you did in your apartment. You know, for anybody who's doing like home recording, I do think you're a good example of you can make it sound good. It really, truly doesn't outboard gear and what preamp you put it through and fucking You got to make it sound good. And you use your ear. But you have to inform that ear too. You're relentless, man. Your pursuit is relentless. Like, you've showed me, oh, I had to read up on MIDI and to understand, and now I totally. And then you show me a session, and there's like 500, there's hundreds of just little. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Right?
But it sounds good.
But it sounds good, you know?
Yeah.
You're relentless, and that's, you know, maybe that's a bad word, maybe like persistent with your learning.
I like relentless.
Yeah, like I'm going to get what I want to hear. And that's, but that's, that comes through though. That, and that, you know, and like you're 31.
Yeah.
You're young as fuck. You know, you're only going to get better. That's exciting. It's exciting to think about that.
Yeah.
Like what's 5 years from now, what's Taman and Bambi going to produce together?
You know what's interesting?
That's exciting.
Yeah. One thing, it's a few things, like next things I'm working on. One of them is obviously getting my Aku studio up and running, mm-hmm. back again, and not be stuck in. Well, I moved it to the living room now, or like the I guess the hallway area. Mm. I got like that's supposed to be like my home. Yeah, like my home setup when I'm working on stuff at home, mm-hmm. and that's the only setup I have right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the process of fixing up the studio and actually back in my mother's basement again, the same room from before. But I'm gonna try to do it better this time and then have it be like isolated and not make as much noise through the house, and she's cool with it, you know, and so that's
that,
you know,
helps.
No, it's cool, you know, that, you know what I mean, that's a big deal, you know, it's, yeah. my mother, and she's up there in age, so she don't feel like hearing anything. She's like, just do what you're gonna do, but I don't want to hear anything, you know. Which is, I'm a musician who plays instruments, you know, including drums, so you know.
Yeah,
you know, which is probably the loudest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, but
shout out to my neighbors.
Yeah. So yeah, so getting that back set up, and once the studio is back set up, I plan to work on and actually create like an online education for production.
Sweet.
And I actually have quote unquote test subjects that I'm trying stuff on.
That sounds evil.
Quote unquote, my nephew.
Thank you.
shout out to Dula T.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I'm teaching him production now.
Oh, that's exciting.
And so he's been doing pretty good, you know. And I've been pushing him in different ways and trying to develop his ear, you know. And it was interesting because he said something to me, which I had to like check him on, but not like in a negative way, but like in a positive way. He was like, you know, we was trying to get an instrument to sound a certain way. Mm. And he was like, man, this is not the right program for it. And I was like, I looked at him, I was like, look, I'm like, the program don't make the producer.
Yeah.
The producer makes the program.
That's right.
It don't matter what you're on, you can make this instrument sound good. Because mm-hmm. if I get on this thing, I'm going to make that instrument sound good. And the program didn't change for me or you.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, okay. I'm like, look, you know, I want you to understand this because... You know, there's no limitations.
Truly.
You know what I mean?
Truly.
Obviously, you know, certain programs do certain things better. And, you know, we all know that. But at the end of the day, you are the main factor in your sound.
That's right.
You know, what you know and how you implement the things that you know. Even like you brought back to the home studio thing. You know, you've seen my studios and where they've been set up. And, you know, they haven't been quote unquote perfect, but they always sounded pretty good. And that's through to experience, knowledge, and then doing research on how sound works, you mm-hmm. know, and how sound works in a room, and what's the best type of sound for a studio, and how to get that studio quality sound on pennies of a budget, you know, and not, you know, or pennies on the dollar with an average studio would spend, you know. And once you understand that information, you can really make any space sound good. You know, even like in our apartment now, you know, the space where my setup is very, it's a very ringy sound. Like there's no absorption anywhere, mm-hmm. sound absorbing panels or anything anywhere. And, you know, and we don't want the place to look like a studio. So we're like,
correction.
She doesn't want the place to look like a studio.
Totally understandable.
And so what we're actually going to do, we're going to put absorption material behind paintings.
I was just thinking that. I've always wanted to do that, like have, even in like, you know, when you're in a room, even in like a restaurant, but I'm just thinking even you're in your dining room and it's just very high ceiling or something like that. Yeah, it would be nice to have some absorption, but not look like a panel.
Visual absorption, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We've got this huge painting that was given to me by, you know, my old boss. Shout out to Ashley Anthony Design.
Shout out.
Yeah, and... the painting is huge. So my husband was literally sitting there and he's like, hey, babe, I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to freak out. I'm like, okay. He's like, I know you don't want to see any sound panels, but we really need them in order for my sound, you know, because I know what I need. He's like, what do you think about putting, you know, some sound absorption behind these paintings? Like, they're here, they're nice, but can we make them multifunctional? And I'm like, absolutely. If I don't have to see it, you can put whatever back there you need.
Absolutely. You can even buy a different color fabric to wrap in. Really nice colors. Like
and even thinking about that, like there's so many ways that we can expand that, you know?
Yeah. Like, that's exciting. I kind of know. I'm thinking, because like I have these really boring, dull, light absorbing. It's just like... Yeah, now you got me thinking.
Yeah, like even having someone come in and like maybe spray paint or like paint on the, you know, on the fabric to like really create the ambiance that we were talking about, you know, and making it feel, giving you that oomph when you come in, like, oh, this is a beautiful space, you know, like, why not? We, you know, it opens up the, clicks open that little creative bug in your head.
It does, like from the beginning.
Yes, from the time you walk in.
Like as opposed to, you know. You got to sit down and kind of like let the person
warm up,
you know, warm them up. But from instant, obviously we know what that is, where you go into like, even like a, you have a theater background, you have music theater background, right? And that's how you guys met.
Yes, we met in a play.
Where'd you go? You said where?
Cicely Tyson School of Performing and Fine Arts.
Wow.
And that's in East Orange, and where I studied musical theater and classical music and did dance and had some opportunities to be in some plays, some musicals. So it definitely does matter if you have that background.
So if you step into like, do you remember the first time you stepped into when you're preparing a play?
Yeah.
Or a musical, and you stepped into the theater that you were gonna perform in? Like that feeling?
Yes. You get like chills, literally. It's like, whew, I can't wait. Like you, as a singer, from a singer's aspect, you come in and you're like, oh my God, the acoustics is beautiful. And you may sing a run or something to see how your voice bounces off and see what you can do to play with, how you can play with your voice in a new space. Or from a dancer's aspect, it's like, oh my God, these floors, look at this space. Do you know how many jetés and rendezvous I can do in here? Like this is crazy.
He's up. I'm going back
to sleep. Baby's up and down. But it just, the ambiance definitely brings out something else in you. It kind of like tickles your creativity, and it makes it want to, you know, like thrive. It's like, all right, well, I'm interested to see what I can do, what I can achieve, and what I can pull out of myself in this, because, you know.
Your space is also your part of your artistry.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Definitely. Because I've been in.
Obviously, you can see I'm not very artistic.
No, I think this is a
good
space.
I'm kidding.
There's definitely been times where you go to a performance, and I've been in some instances where I've gone to a space and it's so small and so that you kind of get nervous. It's like, oh man, how am I going to let everything out in here? Versus going to some place that's equipped for what it is that you're trying to deliver, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to kill this. I'm ready for this one, you know? And so space definitely does play a big part in how you can, I mean, but when you're a genius, like the genius here.
Genius.
Yeah, you can literally make any space. Like, you know, it's all about.
They say knowledge is power.
Yep.
Knowledge is power.
If you know how to utilize it.
Absolutely.
I had a friend of mine say, not only knowledge is power, but applied knowledge is power.
Applied knowledge, yes. Absolutely. You know, that's a problem in education.
Yeah.
They think that they could just yell information at you, at kids, and, you okay, you heard it, cool, like, you should be good for the rest of your life.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Can you show me how to do it? Like, where to apply this knowledge?
Yeah.
I'll even say, in our college experience, like, there were a lot of missed lessons that we could have gotten about networking and how to work with people in a professional, like, business sense. We didn't get any of that. We got pretty much like, here's the standard of behavior because you're in a classical program and everybody in the classical world acts like this. And you take that into the actual real world and start working with singers or rappers, guitarists who don't have that experience. And you're like, well, that was wrong. That was wrong information.
Yeah.
It doesn't apply at all.
People skills are important. People skills with people are important because everybody comes from different backgrounds. Like, you know. Imagine you trying to explain a drum rhythm to a singer, or trying to explain audio inputs to a dancer or a nurse. Like, that's like it's like Korean and Arabic. You know, like this No relation.
Different languages, yeah.
No relation. You know, and I find that to be like one of the things that from teaching a lot, it forces you to be able to explain things in many different ways, you know. It's been a blessing. And that's one thing I would say. Teaching has been a blessing in that way, being able to because you can explain it to a kid, you can explain it to anyone, you know.
Yeah. You do the work. I know you do the work. You have some really good teaching accomplishments as far as like what you've gotten your like percussion ensemble to do.
Oh yeah, they did some fun stuff.
I didn't even see the performance and I know that it was really difficult. You arranged some pieces like, was it a Michael Jackson?
We arranged a lot of stuff.
Stevie Wonder, I think you did too.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff. Yeah, the goal I realized because I at the time I was teaching because of the whole COVID thing I came teaching at that center at the time I was teaching 3rd to 8th grade.
Okay.
So I'm their first musical experience with an instrument, but not only that, I won't be their last.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized my goal is not only to educate them, but to make them excited about music so they would continue.
Yes.
And so in a lot of ways, the excitement is a little bit higher than the education part.
Of course.
Because at the end of the day, they're not going to learn everything from me.
Yeah, exactly.
know what I mean? So it's only been so much I can teach them. I can give them the foundation and make them excited, you know.
Yep.
And so one of the lessons I teach, actually all of my classes, is that when, like I say, for example, you have a xylophone, and the xylophone is made up of wooden bars with different, they're all different pitches. And so they're like, oh, I'm ready to play, I'm like, okay, I'll tell you one thing. This is how this works. The bar, do you see that bar? The note is already in the bar. All you have to do is bring it out. See, anyone can understand that.
Yeah.
The note is already there. It's there before you touch it. You just have to bring it out.
Yeah.
So if I do down, the sound goes down. If I do up, the sound goes up. So when you play, you're
talking about
up.
Like percussion, like a stroke, like hitting the actual thing.
Exactly.
Either like bouncing the mallet off of it or digging in. Yes.
Exactly. So if I'm playing down, you get a down sound, goes down. No one hears down. If you put your head down and you talk, no one hears you.
Yeah.
If you play up, you have your head up, people can hear you. Anyone can understand it. I can say that to a college student and they get it. I can say it to a kid and they get it. You know, a college student, you get into more detail, but it's the same information. So they can take that with them until whenever, you know. And so that's the type of things I would express to them and teach them how to play and how to practice and how to be in an ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have a lot of time with the students when I was teaching them because I would teach them one day a week, you know. And, you know, so each semester I would have maybe about between 10 and 15 lessons to put on a concert, you know. And the lessons would be between 15 minutes to an hour. So, you know, just imagine that, you know. You see a student for 30 minutes once a week. You know, it's not that much time. They get math every day, you know, for 45 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
But I think it's given me the experience to how to explain things to people. Like, you know, when I was working with Bambi, you know, I had to figure out how to explain certain things, you know. And or if I'm working with Malik, I had to figure out how to explain certain things to him, you know. And with anyone, you have to figure out how to explain it to them so that they can understand.
How they understand. Yeah. It's literally about each person's understanding is different. So it's how do I tap into so that they understand me.
Yeah. How do you get passing the
message on? Have you taught like dance or singing or any, do you have any teaching experience?
I mean, not really.
Not really?
Not really.
How about as like a student? I just want to see if this resonates with you. Like,
as a student, you definitely gravitate to the teachers that seem interested in what it is that you like.
Gotcha.
You never want a teacher that's only about them, only about strictly, well, we have to learn this and this is that and that's it.
Well, I've had them.
Yeah. It's it's better when you guys can explore from different elements because like Taman said, he learned more piano after he got out the class, and that's probably because he was able to explore his own interests is what drove him to learn more, you know, as a singer. And I can definitely agree to that. As a singer, I learned how to use my voice
I learned how to use my voice at a very young age. I learned how to fine tune and dig deeper into my voice when I went to Cicely Tyson because of all the classical training and the vocal training. But as an adult, I've been able to explore to actually know what I like. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I know what I like to sing. I know how I liked my voice to feel. I don't necessarily want it to be classical all the time, but so you, I do have the training.
You double down on what you
like. Yeah. Yeah,
you're kind of like, all right, I don't want to.
Yeah, you can weed it out. But it's always good to learn because you always have something to pull from. You always have your trunk of tricks, you know? Like, well, wait a minute. I remember I learned how to use a breathing technique in classical music that I could use on this R&B track that will help me, you know, like help me advance or help me stand out from the rest.
Yeah.
Which is what I, like, I remember once in high school, they told us that our voice was a rubber band, meaning that as high as you can sing is as low as you can sing. And I never was really able to experience that in school. I mean, I learned it there, but I never was really able to really hold on to that and like really play around with it until I was older. And I started to sing lower just to see where I could go, you know, like, or really wanted to push myself and try to sing high as I could, you know, because, you know, when you're in school, they give you a piece of music and you have a specific part. I was a first alto. So that was my range, you know, but on your own in the real world, like as you're out, you're just, it's like, okay, well, I don't have to sing alto today. I want to sing tenor today.
Oh, wow.
Today I want to be a tenor. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Tomorrow I want to be a soprano. Why not? Because it's because you have that foundation and you're able to, with good teachers, like, you know, you're able to, like, pull from them, pull the jewels that they've given you and really use them to your advantage.
I tell me if you've both experienced it and if you've, I know you've done it. I've had to do it. But when you have a teacher that is willing to drop everything they know to get you to understand something and improvise. And what I mean by improvise, it could be anything from like trying to come up with some sort of metaphor or analogy to get the message, to get it to click. I know you've done that, but there's something about, it's a very childlike playing with something, using your imagination, trying things out. Improvisation is really what it is.
Yeah.
And if you learn how to put that into your teaching, it's not easy because you're putting yourself on the spot. You're throwing away that foundation of teaching that you already know to try something and it might miss.
Yeah.
And it's happened to me before. But that's the thing, though. Here's what's cool about it, I guess, is that even if it misses, you're going to try another thing.
Yeah.
Because either way, you got nothing. Like, if the kid's still not getting it, or the kids are still not getting it,
you got to pull from somewhere.
You got to try things.
Yeah. Whether you're relating it, if it's a athletic student and you're like, you know, well, you think about a layup. You know, you got to pull from all aspects. Like, okay, well, you know how you shoot a layup? Well, this is how you do such and such and such. And then they're like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. Okay. You got to relate it to the, and that's back looping back around to what we said. Each person learns and understands differently.
That's
right. Each individual is definitely, you know, they absorb things differently. So it's how can I relate to them to get them to understand? Like, I'm not going to, if I'm talking to a culinary student, I'm going to relate to something in the kitchen, you know, like, Let me tell you that if you use a bowl and you clink a bowl with a metal spoon, it sounds different than a wooden spoon, you know, something like that versus.
We're getting all percussion up here.
Like versus like talking to them in like singer terminology or your vocal terminology, you know, like I'm not going to pull out musical theory for somebody that's a law student. I'm going to talk to them about, you know, the different laws and statures and things like that for them to understand because their brain obviously works differently, but if you're a good teacher and a good artist, you kind of you got to be able to pull from different. You got to be able. It's about being versatile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do think that this even goes in the beginning when we were talking about it's not okay. You know, you're trying to like create a very important message, which is the changing of culture and the changing of the status quo or what's acceptable. And you want the change to happen, so you have to communicate in a way where people understand it immediately and are actually encouraged to make the change.
Yeah, for you to understand.
And
definitely.
That is teaching, in my opinion. I think getting somebody to understand something is teaching, but maybe on a micro level. That's why I think that it's like we talked about the both of you, your musical talent. You're a dancer too. You're an actor, right?
Actress.
Is that a now? I've seen actor, but for female, like in interviews.
Yeah.
What is I with mean, that? Is
people,
that
a? I mean.
Does it matter, or
not,
is it
not really? Not really.
Or is I it just, to the individual?
It's the individual. Okay. Honestly. I mean, they do have actor, actress, the female and the male.
Gotcha.
If you wanted to be quote unquote literary, correct, I guess you would use actress. But it's all the same thing.
So all of our experiences, but then I think the when you think about, well, to get that experience, you did need a teacher.
Yes.
You didn't just do it yourself. I mean, you did in a sense when you left the classroom, but you did have to get that information, learn how to apply it. Maybe you were taught how to apply it, hopefully. But even when you're having a debate with somebody, you know, you have to get, you're trying to get your perspective understood. Without telling the person that they're wrong. Hopefully that's how people are debating. Hopefully. But I think, yeah, I think, I hope that people start thinking about, like, well, where am I, when am I a teacher in my life? Because you're parents now. And, you know, you're gonna be teaching all day and come home and teach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's a little different when it's your own kid. It's a little different.
Of course.
It's fun. It's like, you know, he's so young. It's like, he's sleep. It's just like, so you guys know, he's actually asleep right now on mommy's shoulder. But when I come home to him, it's not as much teaching as just showing him different stuff and trying to let him experience different things. You know?
Of course.
Which is also a form of teaching.
Yeah. But like discipline stuff, yes. You know, things like, yes. Like that's teaching. That's why where parents, whoever talks shit about teachers and their parents, I go, talking shit about yourself.
Yeah.
You're a teacher. I don't care. If you're a parent, you're a teacher.
Definitely.
At some point in your day, in your week, you're a teacher.
That's true.
If we all can realize that, truly, honestly, the amount of empathy would grow.
Oh,
it'd be a way better world. Let's see. So, did you want to do any? I know your son's asleep. I don't want to wake him up.
Oh, no,
but did you?
He's fine.
Is okay.
Okay.
You should go to our neighborhood and see what he's experienced while his lullaby plays on and they're playing sad music outside or reggaeton, cars going down the street with loud, they got their radio all the way up, or a car speeding down the street for no reason.
Don't you love that?
Don't we love our neighborhood?
Yeah, right?
So let's play a little bit. We're going to play for you guys because this is the part of the podcast that this is where I think it's unique.
This is where all the meat is at.
Yeah.
The meat and potatoes.
Taman and I understand each other musically. Like, I think we understood each other musically before we can understand each other with language, with English. I think, and very specifically, I don't even know if we know how to articulate it. Taman, you know what I'm talking about when somebody knows how to jam and somebody really doesn't know how to jam.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
how would you explain that? Without being mean.
The best jammers don't hear themselves, they hear everyone else. It's very simple. Yeah. You know, some people when they jam, they doing it to have fun as opposed to they're doing it to have fun by themselves with others as opposed to doing it to have fun with others. But you're not really there when you're jamming. You're listening to the other person. And that's honestly the best way. You know, we've jammed for years, man. Oh,
years. Hundreds of hours.
Yes, for real, honestly. Yeah. And that's the main thing is, you know, and that's very hard to teach. It's very difficult to teach because, you know, a lot of it, your personality comes out when you jam, you know. And so I'm a person, I like to hear everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it a little easier for me. But some people, they just want to hear themselves, you know. Try to get an MC to jam. Sometimes it can be difficult because, you know, an MC is always in the front. So they only hear the beat. They don't hear everyone else in the group. You know what I mean? So it can be difficult. or sometimes same thing with people who are in the front, like singers or
guitarists,
lead guitarists. Sometimes that can be difficult because they're always in the front. Usually with drummers, bassists, rhythm people, they kind of get it for the most part, most of the time, unless they're like a person who plays that instrument but they really want to be the lead, you know, so then they just kind of go off. But you know, just be, that's very real. That, I'm so serious. It's very real. You know, and it can be difficult to really get that balance, you know. And even me, sometimes I make mistakes and I'm like, maybe I should have did this way, you know. But the main thing is, it's the music. That's the main thing.
The whole big picture. And I'll say this. I think that I don't know if I'd be as good of a drummer if I didn't have those 100 hours of jamming with just you. Joe Fee, shout out to Joe Fee too. Hey. Another guy knows how to, you know, how to make music in real time. And make it sound like one whole thing. He knows he's one piece of it. We know we're one part of it. How can we get our puzzle pieces to make one image, you know?
Yeah, he's one of the best jammers I've ever jammed with, Joe.
Seriously.
Man. Oh, man. Shout out to that dude, man.
I'm trying to get him on. I think he's going to come on soon.
Oh, that'd be great, man. Joe Fee, oh, that dude, man.
One of my favorite musicians. Yeah, he's like one of the best musicians I know.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Do you remember he would tap or play a groove on any surface and it would sound legitimately, you go, how do you get that wall to sound good, or how do you get that table to sound good?
And the thing is that you may think that Anthony is joking right now, but he's very serious, and I've seen it, man.
Yeah,
man, we jammed so much. We jammed in the goddamn bathroom, we jammed in the fucking stairwell, we jammed in the hallway, every room that you could think of, like, we've jammed in probably a goddamn closet. We've jammed in every instrument you could think of. I remember string class, the first day I had a cello, and I jammed on the cello, and I didn't even know how to play the damn thing, and I jammed on the goddamn cello.
Yeah, you're just, like, knocking on the wood and you're just playing like a drum.
Yeah, man, like, jam on a cello. Like, it's, you know, and that's the difference between people who play an instrument and people who are truly musicians, because music is everything can be interpreted as music.
Yes.
You know, like, it's very simple. Everything can be interpreted as music, you know, and it just takes that imagination and, you know, broadening your spectrum of what you consider to be a qualifying sound to use in this audio recording or in this space and time as considered music, you know. And I think that is...
Traffic is music. The sound of traffic.
Mm-hmm. It can be. Like, it depends on how you hear it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How you hear it, you know.
About that ear.
Gamelan music is like all music, metallic sounds. Like, we studied gamelan music.
I didn't.
You know, you didn't do the gamelan?
I never did it, no.
With Mike Lipsey.
I never did it, but we, like, kind of learned about it. I got to get Mike Deering on here, because Mike Deering actually played gamelan music, and he went to Bali for a couple months. And, yeah. Yeah, so I gotta get him on too.
I want to hear his experience, man. Yeah. Oh man, that sounds cool, man. I remember the first time. This is like a side. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's cool. Hey, we could go for 5 hours and whatever. I don't care.
Pass out because she didn't eat yet, and I was thinking about that.
Same,
I was thinking about
thing,
that.
I'm starving too.
You start. Oh man, we should all get some food. We should get some food.
Yeah.
I was what's his name? Sean Puffy Combs, P Diddy, right?
P Diddy.
He had this song come out some years ago. And I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, shit, I know what that is. They sampled a gamelan music.
Really?
On a record. Yeah, and I was like, yo, that's gamelan music. Like, yeah. Like,
that's crazy.
It was crazy. And it was like those, like, the metallic sound and, like, oh,
can you do that again?
It's like, very, you know what I mean? Like, because if anybody who's listening to this, they're like, what are you talking about?
Go look up gamelan.
Look up gamelan.
How's it spelled? Game and then lan, like L-A-N, right?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
Game, L-A-N, yeah.
B-A-L-I. And they play, it's like all metal instruments. Like, they have drums, but the drums are the accompaniment, and the metal instruments are the main thing. And they have one of the biggest part of it is they have these two huge gongs that they play. And the two huge gongs keep time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Like, boom, and they keep time, but it's all this other stuff happening in between, and they play these metal bars with metal hammers,
yeah,
and so you can just imagine metal on metal how tingy or bright the sound is, and you, to the average person, it'll sound like noise, but when you really listen to it, you can hear the music within it, and it's,
they play you a lot of unison parts, and
yep,
they're right in time with each other,
yeah, and they have split parts too, like, so like the equivalent is like a drum line where they do a single stroke row, which is right, left, right, left, right, left, and one person plays the right hand, the other person plays the left hand.
We've tried that.
Yeah, it's really hard to do.
It's really hard to do.
But that's, the whole music is like that. It's like ding, 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 ding. But it's like right, left, right, left, right, left. One person, another person, one person, two, one person, three. It's like back and forth, and it's ridiculous. We're going on a whole tangent.
That's cool. So, no, that's good. I'm glad we talked about Gamelon.
We should probably play some music.
Go ahead.
I gotta tune my guitar one more time.
So, you got a beat? Anybody have... I don't know what to play. Anybody have a beat? What's Zane gonna beatbox for me? I'll play with it. No, you don't have to. You don't have to wake up.
Zane, what are you gonna beatbox?
what do you want to hear, Taman? What we got?
I don't know yet.
Let's get groovy. I feel like we should get groovy. You guys should get groovy so I can join in.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Got a little tuning.
Are we feeling something slow, medium tempo, up tempo?
Let's do medium.
Medium. Yeah. What's medium, like something like this? Is that about medium?
Good, honestly, I'm happy with whatever happens.
Sidebar: we had a jam session in front of our building.
Really?
Taman and I, probably 1 o'clock in the morning. We were sitting in the front of the building. He brought his guitar out for a second. We were sitting there, and literally just a song came out. A song.
Really?
A whole song. Yeah, just off the top. Just a whole song. Mm-hmm. Of course, we did not record it because it was in the moment.
Do you remember it?
I don't remember it at all.
It was so
Yeah, I don't remember it.
You guys weren't drunk. You guys weren't high.
No.
It just came. It just was like...
I was high.
Well, fine. No, but I believe you. I believe that it was still like...
Yeah.
Because when you're jamming, when you're high, sometimes you're like, oh my God, this is gonna be the next hit single.
This is it.
Next time though, you guys got to put the cell phone up and record.
Yeah. We thought about it after. We were like, damn it, we missed that.
What you got, Taman?
I don't know. I haven't played in such a long time, like in the jam session. So I just, yes. You sing that too loud.
No.
That wasn't a song?
That was not a song.
Is it a song now?
No, it could
maybe.
Be.
Maybe. It's recorded.
Oh, well, it could be one day.
That was nice. That you was jumped like, right in.
That was dope.
Like, you have a baby on your shoulder, and you're like, no, I'm joining in.
Yeah, immediately. I can't
yeah,
stay.
Yeah, I want him to... I want the boy to grow up and to be comfortable with music.
You see, he woke up, no crying. He's just like, "Oh wait, there's a jam going. Let me pay attention."
Yeah, I got to be alive for this one. I got to be I got to be conscious for this one.
I got to be alive with this one.
Yeah, he's like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah, that's funny.
Don't start without me, guys.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I want to be present for this one.
You got something?
Ah.
Give it to me now. Come on, come on, come on. Give it to me now. Come on, come on, come on. Give it to me now. Come on, come on, come on. Give it to me now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give it to me now. Come on, come on, come on. That was nice. That was
holy shit.
That was fun.
Oh my god. So that's one of those things where like we're so on the same, and it seems like you're with us right there, Bambi. I mean, that's so cool. I've never jammed with you.
Yeah, this is my first time jamming with
first
you.
Time.
Yeah, you're pretty sick.
Thank you.
You're
thank
pretty
you.
Sick.
Like, thank you. But no, I'm impressed because like vocally, I was talking about this yesterday with somebody. I was like, how does somebody vocally improvise? Whether it's lyrically, yeah. especially too, but melodically and like, because you're, I can get away with doing whatever. He can get away with doing whatever, but everybody's listening to you. So it has to be like really, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so impressive. Anybody who can improvise vocally.
Thanks. That's something I'm actually working on more as an artist. Like, I'm used to, you know, singing, you sing specific songs, you know where they're going, they've already told you, but like really being able to like take it out, you know, and like just go off on a tangent. It helps when you're with musicians that can pull it out of you. Like you guys, you see, as soon as you start, I'm just like, wait a minute, I hear it. You know, like I can hear where you guys are going. And in my head, I'm like, all right, well, I'm there with you. You know, I'll take it there too. Like, it's fun. It's really fun.
I'm very curious to get Selah in here too.
Oh yeah, man.
Right? Crazy. Like the four of us. What would we do?
Don't bash me in the head.
I'm sorry. My bad. You know, that's why I didn't bring the guitar that
don't
way the first time.
Out,
I
was, you know?
yeah.
I was worried. I didn't want to. Yeah, man. You like this?
Yeah, Dada. You see, Dada is playing.
We're going to do an episode with Selah. I wanted it to be like the three of us, but you got to be in there. It's got to be the four of us.
Yeah, definitely. I'm down.
I mean, we got to do it. I'm very excited. And like for listeners, I've talked about it before, but these are the people. This is an example of like, it is totally possible when you have an informed ear, you have experience, you can totally improvise and have legitimate music that you're playing for people. Mm-hmm. Like legitimate content too. You know, like now I've talked, who do I talk about? Oh, I talked with Selah, where mm-hmm. we've gone on stage together. Right? And like we were like the house band for like an open mic.
Oh yeah.
Right? And like we have no material. Well, we have material. But we're not told to play the material. We're pretty much told to like, what to just
improvise and freestyle and create the ambiance.
And we do that. And sometimes like they're starting late, so they're like, okay, guys, just play. And it's like 15 minutes of like, we got to fill up. To other people, that would be stressful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Less experienced, or not even less experienced, but people just don't have experience improvising. For us, it's like, oh, you only need 15? You know? It's like nothing to us. But I crave that. I absolutely crave that type of performance. So, yeah, I'm very excited. I would be very excited to have the four of us in here.
Oh, man.
And then, like, you know, and then, well, we got to get this guy to get his set up, his keyboard and his guitar.
Man.
Guy plays keyboard and guitar at the same time. It's crazy.
I don't know how that happened. That just happened.
That was, well, that's one of those things. That was an improvised thing, too. You're like, I want to hear these sounds.
Together.
I'm going to force myself to figure it out, coordinate it, whatever, you know. So,
As a vocalist, it strengthens you as a vocalist to jam.
Yeah.
Because it makes your brain think of different sequences and different riffs and different runs and different, well, if I pull my voice really low, what will it sound like against what they're doing, you know, what the drummer is doing, or there's a moment in time where I know the guitar is about to stop, so what am I gonna do? Am I gonna run? Am I gonna be quiet? Does the piece require silence right there, you know? Because sometimes vocalists can do too much, which is
the best part of that song that we just did was when I stopped playing.
It takes a good artist to know when to stop.
That is very.
I think we all had our breaks. I heard each one of us take a second.
Yeah.
I'm notorious for when I'm working with an artist and I'm trying to like create it. They want me to put drums on a song. If that song tends to be softer, I'll just say you don't need drums at all on this song. Like they'll ask me, what do you think should go on here? No drums.
Nothing.
It's just so good. They play it so well themselves.
Yeah.
What's cool too is, and I'm sure that's what happened. I bet you that's the definition of what happened between you guys when you were jamming and you just created a song out of nowhere, which was he started playing. That inspired you. You started singing something. Then now you gave him something to maybe respond with. Then he adapted.
Yep.
You both adapt until
like ping pong effect.
Until you have like it's almost like a metaphysical object, you know, in the room with you that you're, you know, keeping alive. That's what I love. This is why I wanted to do this podcast. I know too many interesting people who are like very well spoken, to be honest with you. You just, when do you have the platform as an artist where you have a microphone and you get to talk for like 2 hours to actually truly like express who you are?
Yeah.
Like,
You gotta get it out.
I don't know if your songs are enough for people. You're trying to we're talking about translating a message or who you are.
Yeah.
I don't know if songs are enough.
Probably not.
They're so subjective, and like I wrote this song about this part of my life. Somebody can interpret that completely different, you know. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Thank you. This was a really Anytime. Good opportunity, you know.
Yeah. And I also want to share, I want to like highlight, like, hey, like what's cool is there are people who are listening to this from like Germany, from France.
That's dope.
Like
that's
a few. True. A few, like a handful. That's and that cool. is so cool. And they're consistent. Like I could see every episode, it's like the same five people or whatever from whatever, you know. And it's like,
man, that's pretty cool.
Now you that's guys, cool. if they check out your music, yep. now you have that truly to me makes me feel the best is, yeah. about it. You know what I mean?
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's exciting to see it on Go the ahead, website. Aunt.
Go yeah. ahead, Frida Bags.
Frida Bags. Frida Bags. Oh my God. That's a whole like unnecessary explanation for a dumb name. Nickname. All right. I think if you guys want to, because I don't want to keep you hungry, I'm hungry too. We can wrap this up. Is there anything else that we wanted to dive into talk? Was there anything on your brains like, oh, I hope we get to talk about this?
I think we might have.
I think we covered a lot.
Covered you know, a lot.
And the you know the doing the playing at the end was the period. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The conclusion.
A yeah.
Good way to wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talk about music, but music is meant to be heard.
So, all right. So then in the description, you're going to go. Everybody's going to go to Instagram.com/ Taemin Hadeh. TAMENHADE. And what's your handle, Bambi?
Bambi Hadeh. BAMBI dash. Well, no dash.
No dash.
Space. HADE.
Bambi Hadeh.
Yep.
Follow her on Instagram. Follow Taemin on Instagram. And there's links to your art, like to your music
yeah.
pages mm-hmm. on the Instagram yeah, account.
Yep. Definitely.
Please go listen to their music. Please. Hey, be really nice and buy the music. Buy a song. You know, that goes a long way.
That's true. That's very true.
And be on the lookout. You know, like there might be a single coming out, a song coming out, piece of content coming out from them. Yeah. And two very talented people. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining me for this episode.
Thank you.
Yes, man.
Us. Definitely.
Ba-dum-biz.
All right. Ba-dum-biz to everybody.